This is Audible.
The Well of Ascension, Book 2 of Mistborn, by Brandon Sanderson. Dedication. For Phyllis Call, who may never understand my fantasy books, yet who taught me more about life, and therefore writing, than she can probably ever know. Thanks, Grandma. Part 1. Heir of the Survivor. 1. I write these words in steel, for anything not set in metal cannot be trusted. The army crept like a dark stain across the horizon. King Elland Venture stood motionless upon the Luthadel city wall, looking out at the enemy troops. Around him, ash fell from the sky in fat, lazy flakes. It wasn't the burnt white ash that one saw in dead coals. This was a deeper, harsher black ash. The ash mounts had been particularly active lately. Elland felt the ash dust his face and clothing, but he ignored it. In the distance, the bloody red sun was close to setting. It backlit the army that had come to take Elland's kingdom from him.
How many? Elland asked quietly. 50,000, we think,
Ham said, leaning against the parapet, beefy arms folded on the stone. Like everything in the city, the wall had been stained black by countless years of ashfalls.
50,000 soldiers, Elland said, trailing off.
Despite heavy recruitment, Elland barely had 20,000 men under his command, and they were peasants with less than a year of training. Maintaining even that small number was straining his resources. If they'd been able to find the Lord Ruler's Atium, perhaps things would be different. As it was, Elland's rule was in serious danger of economic disaster.
What do you think? Elland asked. I don't know, El,
Ham said quietly.
Kelsier was always the one with the vision.
But you helped him plan, Elland said.
You and the others, you were his crew.
You were the ones who came up with a strategy for overthrowing the Empire, then made it happen. Ham fell silent, and Elland felt as if he knew what the man was thinking. Kelsier was central to it all. He was the one who organized, the one who took all of the wild brainstorming and turned it into a viable operation. He was the leader, the genius. And he'd died a year before on the very same day that the people, as part of his secret plan, had risen up in fury to overthrow their god emperor. Elland had taken the throne in the ensuing chaos. Now it was looking more and more like he would lose everything that Kelsier and his crew had worked so hard to accomplish. Lose it to a tyrant who might be even worse than the Lord Ruler. A petty, devious bully in noble form. The man who had marched his army on Luthadel. Ellen's own father, Straff Venture.
Any chance you can talk him out of attacking? Ham asked.
Maybe, Elland said hesitantly. Assuming the Assembly doesn't just surrender the city.
They close?
I don't know, honestly. I worry that they are. That army has frightened them, Ham.
And with good reason, he thought.
Anyway, I have a proposal for the meeting in 2 days. I'll try to talk them out of doing anything rash. Doxin got back today, right? Ham nodded.
Just before the army's advance.
I think we should call a meeting of the crew, Elland said. See if we can come up with a way out of this.
We'll still be pretty short-handed, Ham said, rubbing his chin. Spook isn't supposed to be back for another week, and the Lord Ruler only knows where Breeze went. We haven't had a message from him in months.
Elland sighed, shaking his head.
I can't think of anything else, Ham.
He turned, staring out over the ashen landscape again. The army was lighting campfires as the sun set. Soon the mists would appear.
I need to get back to the palace and work on that proposal, Elland thought. Where'd Vin run off to?
Ham asked, turning back to Elland. Elland paused.
You know, he said, I'm not sure.
Vin landed softly on the damp cobblestones, watching as the mists began to form around her. They puffed into existence as darkness fell, growing like tangles of translucent vines, twisting and wrapping around one another. The great city of Luthadel was still. Even now, a year after the Lord Ruler's death and the rise of Ellen's new free government, the common people stayed in their homes at night. They feared the mists, a tradition that went far deeper than the Lord Ruler's laws. Vin slipped forward quietly, senses alert. Inside herself, as always, she burned tin and pewter. Tin enhanced her senses, making it easier for her to see in the night. Pewter made her body stronger, made her lighter on her feet. These, along with copper, which had the power to hide her use of allomancy from others who were burning bronze, were metals that she left on almost all the time. Some called her paranoid. She thought herself prepared. Either way, the habit had saved her life on numerous occasions. She approached a quiet street corner and paused, peeking out. She had never really understood how she burned metals. She could remember doing it for as long as she'd been alive, using allomancy instinctively even before she was formally trained by Kelsier. It didn't really matter to her. She wasn't like Elland. She didn't need a logical explanation for everything. For Vin, it was enough that when she swallowed bits of metal, she was able to draw upon their power. Power she appreciated, for she well knew what it was like to lack it. Even now, she was not what one would likely envision as a warrior. Slight of frame and barely 5 feet tall, with dark hair and pale skin, she knew she had an almost frail look about her. She no longer displayed the underfed look she had during her childhood on the streets, but she certainly wasn't someone any man would find intimidating. She liked that. It gave her an edge, and she needed every edge she could get. She also liked the night. During the day, Luthadel was cramped and confining despite its size. But at night, the mists fell like a deep cloud. They dampened, softened, shaded. Massive keeps became shadowed mountains, and crowded tenements melted together like a chandler's rejected wares. Vin crouched beside her building, still watching the intersection. Carefully, she reached within herself and burned steel, one of the other metals she'd swallowed earlier. Immediately, a group of translucent blue lines sprang up around her. Visible only to her eyes, the lines pointed from her chest to nearby sources of metal. All metals, no matter what type. The thickness of the lines was proportionate to the size of the metal pieces they met. Some pointed to bronze door latches, others to crude iron nails holding boards together. She waited silently. None of the lines moved. Burning steel was an easy way to tell if someone was moving nearby. If they were wearing bits of metal, they would trail telltale moving lines of blue. Of course, that wasn't the main purpose of steel. Vin reached her hand carefully into her pouch belt and pulled out one of the many coins that sat within, muffled by cloth batting. Like all other bits of metal, this coin had a blue line extending from its center to Vin's chest. She flipped the coin into the air, then mentally grabbed its line and, burning steel, pushed on the coin. The bit of metal shot into the air, arcing through the mists, forced away by the push. It plinked to the ground in the middle of the street. The mists continued to spin. They were thick and mysterious, even to Vin. More dense than a simple fog and more constant than any normal weather pattern, they churned and flowed, making rivulets around her. Her eyes could pierce them. Tin made her sight more keen. The night seemed lighter to her, the mists less thick. Yet they were still there. A shadow moved in the city square, responding to her coin, which she had pushed out into the square as a signal. Vin crept forward and recognized Orsur the Chandra. He wore a different body than he had a year ago, during the days when he had acted the part of Lord Renew. Yet his balding, nondescript body had now become just as familiar to Vin. Orser met up with her.
"Did you find what you were looking for, mistress?"
he asked, tone respectful, yet somehow still a little hostile. "As always." Vin shook her head, glancing around in the darkness.
"Maybe I was wrong," she said. "Maybe I wasn't being followed."
The acknowledgement made her a bit sad. She'd been looking forward to sparring with the Watcher again tonight. She still didn't even know who he was. The first night she'd mistaken him for an assassin. And maybe he was. Yet he seemed to display very little interest in Elland, and a whole lot of interest in Vin.
"We should go back to the wall," Vin decided, standing up. "Elland will be wondering where I went."
Orser nodded. At that moment, a burst of coins shot through the mists, spraying toward Vin.